Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome back to Teachable Moments. I'm your host, Amber Waters Porter. And tonight, as I do every Tuesday evening, I have Pastor C. Porter on the phone from Good Shepherd Community Church in Philadelphia to start out with our Mama Says Moment segment. And then I have one of my most favorite guests. You guys have asked me about her several times, Dr. Kathy O. And she's going to talk about what everyone needs to know about Trump's education plan. But before we go to Dr. O, Mom, you're on here, Pastor C?
Well, I'm on here, Amber, and thank you for allowing me the privilege to share with you and with your listening audience. Tonight, I just want to drop these few words, that he is wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And not only is he wonderful, his name is wonderful. It's Isaiah chapter 9 where we hear Isaiah's preview of Christ when he lets us know that, and his name shall be called Wonderful. He is the greatest wonder of all. He's wonderful in science. He's wonderful in the medical area, and he's wonderful in the nature of this world, in life itself. He's a wonder in my soul. Someone wrote a song like that with those words, oh, sweet wonder, oh, sweet wonder. Jesus, the Lamb of God. He saves us, he sanctifies us, he fills us, he keeps us and sustains us. He has a keeping power that he has released from heaven to comfort and be our present, a very present help in the time of trouble. I just want you to know that the greatest wonder of all is Jesus the Christ. He is truly wonderful. He was wonderful in creation. He created all things. By him were all things created. He's wonderful in the earthly ministry where Jesus came and set free, healed, and delivered. He's wonderful in crucifixion, that he hung his head and died and gave the statement, it is finished. Wonderful in resurrection, where he went back to the Father, but he said, before I go, I will not leave you comfortless. He's a wonder. Oh, sweet wonder. Oh, sweet wonder in my soul. Jesus, the Son of God. I think that's all I have to say today, Ms. Amber. Jesus is wonderful. All you need to do is open your heart and receive the wonderment of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. God bless you, Amber. I'm signing off. I'm going to pray for you, and you pray for me. God bless.
I sure will. God bless. Until next week, thank you. God is indeed wonderful. Thank you, Pastor Porter. And so we are getting to our guest, who I know has just a whole wealth of information for us. Dr. Kathy O, are you with us tonight?
Yes, I'm here, and thank you so much for having me back.
Thank you for coming back. You're just one of my favorite guests because you just have so much information that's so applicable today. And so I want to give you plenty of time to talk about this because it's information we all need to know. But before you get into your subject matter, I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about what you are, what do you do, who you are and what you do, because it's not just you having conversation about this subject. You are very skilled and educated in what you do.
Sure, thank you. I like to think of myself as an edupreneur, someone who understands that the advancement of education is completely parallel to the growth of business and the economy. And when the two of those things aren't matched well together, one or the other, either the education field or the economy, suffers greatly, and I see so much of that happening in the country. I am a previous classroom teacher, high school English. I taught teacher leader, coach, and instructional facilitator, and those roles have led me to the work I do now, which is a director of client relations, and those client relationships are state departments of education, state boards of education, and colleges all around the country, including but not limited to HBCUs, where I provide training and advising on student achievement, test taker data, and teacher licensure and preparation regulations.
So you have
that was a mouth.
You have a nice hold on what's going on in education and government and all. And so we had you on before. You talked about testing, 1, 2, 3. And so we've had you on our administration and our government has changed. And so education plans are unraveling and they're voting and discussing and lobbying and going back and forth. So tell us what we need to know about the education plan and what Trump has proposed for us.
Sure. This is a very fascinating topic, and I can't think of enough ways to get the information out. You've heard the phrase that the devil is in the details, and so I've made it part of my business to make sure that both faith-based organizations as well as public citizens understand the pros and cons of the current federal administration's educational agenda. So whether we like it or not, Secretary Betsy DeVos is focused primarily on removing power, authority, and regulations from the federal government to states and local schools, which is perceived by many as a good thing. And I have to say, I understand why it is perceived as a good thing, because the federal government is taking a lot of the restraints off and allowing state-level government and district-level government to, quote-unquote, do schools however they see fit, if you could think of it that way.
Okay.
So a lot of what House Bill 16 addresses is focused on this idea of voucher systems and school choice.
Okay. And so what exactly are those systems?
Sure.
Choice.
So a voucher system means that students do not have to go to school in their local community or in a district that has been set forth necessarily by the state. That it means that parents or caretakers have the opportunity now to send their child to the school of their choice if it is, quote-unquote, an open school that just accepts anybody. I'm sure you've heard about schools all around the country that have a waiting list, some charter schools, some parochial schools, and these maybe the schools have magnet programs or a STEM focus, science, technology, engineering, and math, Montessori schools, Christian day schools, what have you. And a lot of those are very competitive and have very high tuition. So in a school choice environment, the money that is allocated to a state from the federal government and to a school district from their state now follows the child. So instead of a student living in, let's say, in North Philadelphia being, quote unquote, forced or limited to going to Philadelphia public schools, the parent now has the option to send that child to a school across the border or just a school in the city that is not public, because the money that would have been following that child through public school will now go to the school of choice. So that's the concept. It's called, in many ways, the privatization of education. In other words, let the business world run schools the way they want to. And there are particular advantages to that when you have educated and progressive agencies who really care about the whole child developing and leading schools that will address various learning needs. So schools of the arts and science and magnet schools, schools that teach faith-based principles, Catholic schools, what have you, schools that teach methods of Europe or even methods of Africa, schools that believe in Ubuntu, meaning when you succeed, I succeed, when you fail, you fail. There's a lot of advantage and the opportunity to do school your own way. The challenge is the extent to which you, whoever you are, know what you're really doing, know what students need, and have the right people and processes in place so that every child succeeds. And unfortunately, that latter part of what I said, we do not see that happening as much as people would like for us to believe. And so that makes this idea of choice very scary.
Wow. So it's leaving it up to the parent or the school to determine what it is the child needs?
Well, it's the school gets to make some determinations about curriculum, about what students are allowed to attend that school, what track record or academic background they have to get into that school, and that's a good thing. And then parents then have the opportunity to make choices from those. But if your child doesn't have a certain academic background, whether you want to choose that school or not, if it's a competitive school that only takes certain students, then you may not have the option to get your child in. You also may not know that that child exists. So the schools themselves will run however they want to, good or bad, and I don't want to sound negative about it because I believe most public school teachers and even charter school teachers who are serious about what they do are doing it for what is best for their students.
Right.
And they have the right, you know, leadership in place to make sure that all of the students achieve. The challenge is when parents are given the opportunity to pick and choose wherever they want their child to go, they need a certain level of business and education acumen themselves in order to make a wise decision. So the best analogy I can think of is giving a 10-year-old child the opportunity to choose a car. So a 10-year-old is going to choose their favorite color. They may choose a car that goes fast. They're going to choose a car based on whether it is a big car or a little car, whether it is an SUV or a bug. They might determine whether they want a hybrid car or, you know, a typical car that runs on gasoline, and that's about it for them. A child isn't going to think about anti-lock brakes, airbags, exhaust pipes, whether it's a V6 or a V8. You know, they're not going to think about the insurance attached to it, all of those things. So a parent, your typical American parent, typical, meaning I send my child to school for a minimum of 12 years. I trust the school that is to do what is best for them. I hold my child accountable for being respectful and doing what they're supposed to do at school, the typical American parent.
Right.
They choose schools based, number one, on convenience and location.
Wow.
Okay? because the typical American parent is not going to drive their child 30 to 40 to an hour, you know, 60 minutes away.
Right.
The typical parent needs to be able to get to that child in case of an emergency,
mm-hmm.
or have
mm-hmm.
some kind of latchkey after school opportunity or that kind of thing, especially in inner city and urban environments where our students struggle the most. And when I say our students, I mean students of color. So parents mm-hmm. in urban populations who have all of the socioeconomic limitations that you can name, they're going to send their child to the school that is closer, to the school where maybe they know somebody there or other neighborhood mm-hmm. kids go to that school. They
right.
aren't paying attention to whether the teachers are all qualified. They're not paying
right.
attention to technology and resources, equity and access, student achievement data, those kinds of things. So you may be sending your child to a glorified babysitting institution and not a true, authentic, effective teaching and learning environment, and
right.
that will cost you and your child greatly down the road.
Wow. And is the comparison in having to choose an education, if chosen properly, to what it is now, what is the difference?
Oh, that's a good question, because everyone says, well, public schools are failing our students now, so let's give people more opportunity to privatize education and go where you want and not make it public, you know, make them more competitive. That will push these public schools to get their act together and do more of what the effective schools are doing. So here's the difference. Right now, there are federal regulations around what schools can and cannot do by and large. Just certain
mm-hmm.
things regarding safety. There are rules and regulations and policies around students with learning challenges and disabilities,
mm-hmm.
behavior challenges and different disabilities. There are accountability measures in place where
right.
reports, data and documentation must be provided where the school shows that all of the teachers in that building are qualified, or
okay.
if they're probationary or temporarily licensed, they must be on a professional development plan or track or evaluation system to become fully qualified within a certain period of time. There are policies around nutrition in the school, what can be served and what can't, and sugary foods and things like that. There are policies
right.
around testing that say if so many students in your building continue to fail, that says something about the teaching force, it says something about the administration leadership, it says something about what's happening in the classroom, how you utilize human and physical resources. When you take so in an environment currently where we have all of that, schools that would be, let's say, getting an F may be getting a D or a C, but still there are some accountability measures in place. If you remove those measures, now there's no way to enforce expectations for all children. So maybe at the Amber School, students are very strong in math and reading. The faculty at that school are determined that before the children graduate, they'll already be accepted into a college. But over
mm-hmm.
at the Cathy School, we just hold them here from 8 in the morning to 3 o'clock. After that, you're on your own. And that's happening a lot of places as well. With accountability
right.
measures in place, the Cathy School, and I'm just using these names hypothetically, but the
right.
Cathy School runs the risk of its doors being closed, new principals put in place, teachers being removed and replaced. The state could take over and put proper measures in place to improve the school. But without those policies and accountability, everybody's on their own, survival of the fittest, fend for yourselves. And at the end of the day, that hurts a lot of children for a long time before
mm-hmm.
something is done about the ineffective schools.
Wow. So there really are pros and cons to this this new plan. So what would you propose, if anything, if we had the new plan, what policies could we put in place to ensure that it does a little bit better than expected?
Sure. I like the idea of school choice because of the opportunity it provides. What needs to be attached to it is information. Opportunity without information can be condemning. It can really hurt you. So I want the government to say, yes, we'll allow school choice and we'll allow vouchers. However, all schools must meet these certain requirements. This whole national team will work regionally to monitor school performance and student data. States must provide the following reports on an incremental basis, not just annually, so that we are tracking and paying attention to what you do. That's what parents do. Parents say, okay, you're 16. I'm going to buy you a car. Did you get your driver's license? Yes, you did. Okay, we have insurance on the car. You're going to work and put your own gas in the car, and you can drive and do this. You can't go this far without my permission, and you have to be home by midnight. So now you still have this young new driver with a car doing their own thing, but you have some boundaries, you have parameters in place that keep them accountable and work for their safety. Schools need the same thing.
I see. So is it anything really, you know, is there really anything that parents can do to send a message to the government or their local officials to say, can we add these suggestions to influence this plan? Is there really anything that they can do?
Well, you know, they can write to their representatives. How many 1 million times have we said that on education issues all over the country? Parents can reach out to their local representatives and their school boards and share their concerns, you know, and their feelings. The fact of the matter is, however, our government is in place because of the decisions parents made or the lack thereof. And it is what it is now. What I think is more important is that parents seek education so that they can make appropriate choices for their children. And I'm going to be launching a network related to this probably in the latter part of this year to just help educate parents when they have questions. But the most important thing at this point is less about changing the government administration, because that's not going to change, at least not because of this education agenda, anytime soon. But parents have got to be educated and make informed decisions about where their children are going to school, and they need to know who's in that building. Are the teachers in that building qualified? Is the principal an instructional leader? What are the safety measures in place? Where does this curriculum come from? Who's in charge of it? Is it preparing my student for the next grade? Will my child graduate on time? They just have to get involved in the details of what is or isn't happening at the school so they can make the right choice for where their child needs to be educated.
So, well, I was going to ask you that. Is there anything that has been, let's say, set up for parents? Like, I'm glad you're starting that. Is that going to be an online class? Let me clarify that. Is that going to be online where people can speak and with you to clarify what's going on with school choice and school vouchers?
I'm still thinking it through. We, even though Steve Jobs wants every house to have a Mac in it in the world, that really isn't the case. And so providing things online remains an equity and access issue to the people who need the access the most. So I have to really think strategically about radio shows and face-to-face meetings in a lot of the major cities across the country and going to some of the larger churches, because I need a platform to get more of the word out. So no, it wouldn't just be online. I will probably provide some of that through social media as well as other online platforms, but I have to do some visits, some face-to-face meetings and trainings where the people who really need this information will have easier access to it. But I need an opportunity to tell parents, you know, here are some of the things you need to consider and look at. I've been working on a checklist of basic questions you need to ask and things you need to know so that you can make the appropriate choice of schools.
That's what I was asking. I'm glad you're proactively doing it, but I was asking if the government, I was going to ask if the government has put anything in place to give out information and to inform these parents and decision makers about what they're up against, the pros and the cons. So I guess that's a no.
Well, I don't want to say no. I'm going to say not enough that I have seen. Of course, all policy is public information, so parents can go online, as you heard me say earlier, and read through all of this stuff. My background is in education policy, leadership, and management, so I'm able to extrapolate the details and interpret both data and policy in layman's terms for parents to understand, but, you know, everyone doesn't do that. But absolutely, the government provides lots of public information and awareness. I think there are even some call-in opportunities, and everything is available online for people to get an understanding. And I assume that national organizations like the Parent-Teacher Association will offer information again. It's just that 95% of that information is online. We just live in a technology world, but unfortunately, that is just not the go-to for some of our most needy parents and students all the time.
Okay, so we should definitely look out on social media, and I'll have you back on the show once you get that up and running, so that we can push that information piece to parents. That's very important that we know it, because, as you said, public policy is public, but not everyone knows, or not even everyone is interested in knowing it. They just go with the flow. They don't think it's important.
Yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand how public policy and federal decision-making and governance, how it affects your own household. People think the basics, my lights, food, water, and gas, getting back and forth to a job, a monthly paycheck. People think the basics in terms of their livelihood. And right now, so much of the focus is on, you know, what we see happening on CNN, the horrible situation that just happened in England, you know, Manchester.
Yeah.
We're looking at these things, and I'm not at all downplaying that. I'm just saying whatever is big news gets most of the attention, and sometimes we aren't aware of how all of these kinds of things affect our immediate household, whether it is terrorism, whether it is a presidential election, whether it is a new Secretary of Education and an agenda for school choice. Now there's a lot of national discussion around college and student loans and those kinds of things. So if you're not careful, it's hard to, it's easy to turn away from some of these details because you don't understand how they affect you and your own children.
We only have a minute or so left, but I wanted to ask you if you thought school choice, that the voucher system, do you think race is going to play a big part in that? Will it cause a major uprising or a problem in these schools when parents get to choose what school they go to?
Oh, that's definitely a discussion for another time. But I'll put it this way. Equity and access.
Okay. Well, that's fair. We're going to definitely have to have you back on because we have to push you because you're about a good work. And I appreciate you for being on my show tonight. Thank you so much. And we're going to get you scheduled back because I've had many requests about you being on a show before. And I just want to invite everyone to tune in next week, next Tuesday, 6 to 6:30. And also to go on our page. We have a fun pink pageant coming up, Fight Against Breast Cancer for Church of God of Christ Missions at Commonwealth Department and Supports Making Strides.